Well, the Lord blessed us with a couple of inches of snow this morning. I knew we were going to get a little. I was a little surprised at just how much we ended up with. I'm not complaining. By the way, whoever needs to know, I'm setting the music book over here. And I want to say some thank yous before I get started. I want to thank all of you, and I could name some of you who helped with all of this beautiful decoration. I'm afraid if I name some of you, I will forget some of you. So I just want to thank all of you who have helped so much with all of these fine decorations. I have to name one, Linda Craig. She has been working like crazy in this place, fixing it up, cleaning it up with some assistance from relatives and neighbors, and I am very grateful for that. I am also grateful specifically for this morning because Andy Higgins and Tom and Caleb Parker played a role, and if somebody else played a role in the snow removal and the sanding and salting, thank you so much for that. It really is, well, it's very important to keep our people safe coming in and going out. I want to thank the music team. Ron couldn't be here, had to go to the hospital with a friend, and by the grace of God, that nearby neighbor and friend appears to be okay when it looked very bad earlier this morning, taken by ambulance to the hospital. And that is, I think, a miracle from God. So with all of that said, let me begin with today's message. I was talking with my dearly beloved Terry several days ago and thinking, Christmas, do you have any ideas for me for a Christmas message that I can do? Because I've got opportunity to do two or three of them this month, as you might have guessed. And she said, you know, I think it'd be kind of neat to do sort of the backstory in one of the Christmas carols. And so I happened to look because the music team, and Ron sort of heads the music team, and he put out that we were doing the first Noel today. So I picked that one, and I had no idea until this week all of the backstory there is with the first Noel. I'm not going to give you all of that backstory because I'm not sure that you'll be interested in all of it, but I'm going to give you the highlights. How's that? So today we call it the first Noel, as you can see. And so I want to start off with a little opening story called The Night the Stars Sang. Imagine a time before the bustling cities and the hum of electricity. In the rolling hills of Judea, the night sky stretched infinitely above, painted with a brilliant tapestry of stars. The shepherds, weary from their day's labor, huddled around a fire. As the flames flickered, casting dancing shadows, the only sound was the occasional bleating of sheep and the quiet murmurs of the shepherds' conversations. One particularly clear and cloudless night, as the shepherds lay in the fields, their eyes turned upwards, marveling at the vast expanse of the stars, one of them, an old and wise shepherd, began to recount a tale to the younger ones. Did you know, he said, that each star has a song? Though we can't hear it, the heavens sing praises to the Creator every night. And tonight, the stars seem especially bright, as if they are preparing for a grand chorus. The younger shepherds listened intently, their imaginations sparked by the old man's words. The sky above seemed alive with silent music, and their hearts were filled with wonder. Just then, the night suddenly filled with light brighter than any star, the shepherds shielded their eyes, their hearts pounding with fear and awe. Out of the light, a voice spoke, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. As the angelic proclamation continued, the shepherds realized that the stars were indeed singing that night. They were witnesses to the birth of hope and joy, the birth of the Savior. And just as they had been entrusted with this divine message, so too are we called to share the good news. So allow me to introduce you to the hymn. The First Noel is a traditional English Christmas carol, and its origins are somewhat shrouded in mystery. And the reason is because it wasn't written by a member high in the church. It wasn't written by, like, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, by a well-known theologian and minister that got the theology right on. Of so many of our old hymns written by theologians and ministers of the past, their theology is just spot on, perfect. But this is what they call a folk hymn. We don't know who wrote it. We believe that its origins came possibly as far back as the 1300s, but it can be traced by archaeologists, I guess, have found definite roots of it in the 15th century. So that would be, the 1400s. So being a like folk art and folk music, it didn't make the cut to be sung in churches for a very long time. Yet it endured, because the spirit of the song is so spot on. Yet it doesn't quite match Scripture, and we'll get to that in a little bit. I hope this doesn't ruin your love of the song. It should not, because the spirit of the song is right. The overall message is good. So I don't want to ruin your love for this song, and I have no intention of doing so. So I want you to know that it has those medieval roots. In the Cornish region of England, it was originally actually published, almost certainly some 300 or 400 years after its origin, in 1823, in a book known as Carols Ancient and Modern in England, and edited by someone who I could tell you his name, but you've never heard it, and you probably will never hear it again, William B. Sandys. Now, the lyrics and melody are worthy of note. And for the music teacher who we have and the musicians amongst us, it has what is called a narrative style. The carol tells the story of the birth of Jesus, focusing on the shepherds who were the first to hear the news from the angels. Its narrative style makes it distinct from other Christian hymns. Now, we just sang the song, so it should be fairly fresh in your mind. And we're going to be going through the song, the lyrics, again. And I want you to know that this is going to be a participatory message this morning. You don't have to sing the whole song with me again, but I do want you, when we have the opportunity, and I'll cue you when it's time, to sing with me the refrain, or you might call it the chorus. It's a single line, Noel, 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 Noel. What's the rest of it? Amen, amen. I'm glad you're with me. Just making sure I haven't put anyone to sleep yet. All right? It has a melodic structure. The melody is simple yet captivating and often featuring the repetitive refrain, Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. That's really the heart of the message, born is the King of Israel. And there is more to this. This structure makes it easy to sing and remember. I'm sure you agree with. Do I get an amen? Amen. It's very popular. It has an enduring appeal, as I've mentioned. The First Noel has remained a beloved Christmas hymn for centuries. It has a global reach. It has been translated into an unknown number of languages. And in fact, there are modern interpretations of it. In fact, I just watched on YouTube a group that has reworded almost the entire song. And if I could remember the name of it, I would tell you. And it was quite captivating. I really enjoyed it. So the conclusion about the First Noel it continues to be a cherished part of the Christmas tradition, reminding us of the humble and joyous birth of Jesus, and I hope you continue to enjoy it for all the rest of your days. Now, the first Noel, like I said, is a beautiful retelling of the nativity story. In fact, the word Noel is French, but it comes originally from a word that actually was in Ecclesiastes, meaning birth, nativity. But as with many traditional carols, there are some poetic liberties that have been taken with this. So, I hope you're ready to have, I don't want to ruin the song for you, but are you listening? Are you paying attention? I want to mention that because this song was a folk song, it was ordinary folks who put this song together. Let us go back to the 1400s. In those days, it was well before the Reformation of Martin Luther. So the scriptures were not available to the common man. They weren't. In fact, the priesthood literally didn't believe that it was safe and wise to let the common folks have access to the scriptures. And that is why these minor little discrepancies are in here. And I think you'll agree when we're done, they are minor. But still, it's interesting and it's worth noting. Now, why do I do this? Why am I raining down on this song? There's a principle here. We, you and I, have access to the scriptures like no generation ever in history. We can read them for $0 in umpteen different translations on the internet. We have the Bible, printed Bibles. We've got, I don't even know, maybe a dozen of them, free and available to anyone who wants them out there in the foyer. We are awash. We have an embarrassment of riches of access to Scripture and to teaching on Scripture. You can listen to sermons, you can watch sermons 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for your entire life and not even begin to exhaust the amount of biblical teaching and understanding you can get for $0. Well, you want to count the cost of your smartphone or your computer and internet access. I guess it's not completely zero, but it's pretty good, don't you think? So, allow us to get into the song, the first stanza of the song. The first Noel, the angels did say, was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay. In fields where they lay, keeping their sheep, on a cold winter's night that was so deep. Okay. The idea of shepherds being out in the fields during winter has been a point of discussion among scholars and historians. In ancient Judea, shepherds typically would have been out in the fields with their flocks during the warmer months, or even into the autumn. From, during the winter months, it would usually be too harsh, the weather too harsh, and it wouldn't be good for grazing. And so shepherds would likely have had their flocks sheltered during this time. You should understand that this was coming from a European point of view. They're thinking Jesus' birth is December 25th. Well, that is not necessarily so. Okay? I hope that doesn't ruin your Christmas for you. I don't think that really should. But we don't know exactly when Jesus' birth was. The fact is that history and Scripture never assigned a date to it. Why it was planted on December 25th, is a long story we're not going to get into today, because it is a long story, and I'm sure you would like to get out of here sometime before it gets dark outside. So, I continue on. So, here we come with the second stanza. They looked up and saw a star shining in the east, beyond them far. And to the earth it gave great light, and so it continued, both day and night. Well, the lyrics, the carol, suggest that the shepherds saw the star. They looked up and saw a star, it says, shining in the east beyond them far. The Bible puts it a little differently, okay? The Bible mentions that the shepherds were visited by an angel who announced Jesus' birth. And you may read with me or follow along as you like. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock at night. An angel of the Lord suddenly stood near them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. And so the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you." Oh, by the way, I want to back up. Remember verse 11, because we're going to be mentioning that again in just a couple of minutes. "For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Now, verse 12, "And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly army of angels, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among people with whom he is pleased.' When the angels had departed from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, 'Let's go straight to Bethlehem, let's go straight to Bethlehem then, and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.'" The star is specifically mentioned in the context of the wise men, not the shepherds. I hope that doesn't ruin the song for you. I'm being a little bit facetious. Let's read in Matthew 2, verses 1 and 2. "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem," where was he born? "Of Judea, the days of Herod," and why does it say of Judea? Because there was more than one Bethlehem at that time. So Bethlehem of Judea, "in the days of Herod the king." If ever there was a Grinch, a real-life Grinch, it was Herod the king. "In the days of Herod the king, behold, magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him.'" Now we go to the third stanza. "And by the light of that same star, three wise men came from country far. To seek for a king was their intent, and to follow the star wherever it went." Well, the lyrics specifically mentions three wise men. Many of you may already know this. We don't know how many wise men there were. These magi who came from Persia, magi gives us our word magic. It gives our word magistrate and other words that are related to it. And these men know of the Hebrew scriptures foretelling of the coming Messiah, the king of Israel. Why? Because of the prophet Daniel. Remember, the prophet Daniel saved their bacon. Okay, maybe that's not the right way to put it. Being the culture that it came from, I can assure you, there were no pork products being consumed as a general rule of thumb. So, dumb joke. I will move quickly on before I lose you. So, there wasn't three of them. We don't know how many of them. Why is it mentioned three?
Three gifts.
Three gifts. You nailed it, Steve. You're a good student of Scripture. It is specifically because there were three gifts. So, we look at Matthew chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. After hearing the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star, which they had seen in the east, went on ahead of them until it came to a stop over the place where the child, capitalized C, because it's Christ, God himself, was to be found. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And you know, I just remembered I pointed out the wrong verse 11 to you earlier. It's this one I'm going to be talking about. See? Nobody's perfect. Well, except Christ. And especially not me. Verse 11. And after they came into the house, this is the part you need to remember, okay? After they came into the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The child, at this point in time, was not a tiny little baby anymore. This child may well have been a year and a half to 2 years of age. Just a thought. Now, they came into the house. Not a barn, not a stable, not a manger. It was in a house. So, let me move on. The fourth stanza. This star drew nigh to the northwest, or Bethlehem it took its rest. And there it did both stop and stay, right over the place where Jesus lay. Okay, this is where we all get to participate, folks. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. Fifth stanza. Then entered in those wise men three, here we go again, full reverently upon their knee, and offered there in his presence their gold and myrrh and frankincense. I still remember every time I think of this, somebody doing a cartoon with Frankenstein's monster there going, what is he doing here? I should get that cartoon and put it up on the PowerPoint presentation so you can understand why I think it's funny. So let me double check and make sure I know what I'm talking about here before I move on. The carol implies that the wise men visit Jesus at the place of his birth, and I just said it states clearly it was a house and not at the manger he was born. So I got ahead of my notes. Matthew 2:11a, I guess you didn't have to remember it. I've got it here. And after they came into the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they fell down and worshipped him. Once again, let's do it again. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. Thank you for participating, folks. I do appreciate it. Now the sixth and final stanza that we know about anyway. Then let us all with one accord sing praises to our heavenly Lord, that hath made heaven and earth of naught, and with his blood mankind hath bought. I want to just take a second, okay, maybe a few seconds, to explain this in case anyone is unclear about it. Let us all with one accord, speaking of unity of believers, sing praises to our heavenly Lord, and he is in fact heavenly. He is in the heavens now, and he is absolutely Lord. That hath made heaven and earth of naught means he created it out of nothing, ex nihilo, out of nothing. There is a Latin phrase used in Christian apologetics that says ex nihilo, ex nihil fit, meaning out of nothing, nothing comes. In other words, nothing didn't explode into something in a big explosion. God, in the beginning, God. It's right there in the song. It's absolutely true. I have no qualms with this stanza, no criticisms. This person, whoever started this, nailed it. And with his blood, mankind hath bought. He purchased us with his blood on the cross out of slavery to sin and eternal death in the flames of hell. This is our great Lord, and let's sing praises to him. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. These discrepancies highlight how traditional carols often weave together different elements of the nativity story for a cohesive and lyrical retelling. You understand that the demands of meter, so many syllables, and smoothness of story causes them to combine elements. It doesn't mean anyone doesn't, it doesn't mean that the folks didn't necessarily know the scripture. You have to recognize the purpose of this type of writing, this type of song. And when we are interpreting scripture, reading scripture, it's one thing you have to know that as part of observation and interpretation of scripture, we are to look at the form or the genre of the writing that we are looking at. And so that is what this lesson is here, is that number one, know what you're looking at. A poem or a proverb is not necessarily absolutely rock solid on every single detail. Neither are the parables that Jesus told. You can go too far in interpreting those things. So understand and recognize the genre that you are reading. And the Bible has all kinds of different genres that I won't go through a whole list. But above all things, while we can enjoy these wonderful songs of old and even brand new ones, ladies and gentlemen, it is important not to be hypercritical of where things go off a little bit when it's a song, but it is important to know what Scripture actually says. Because, and I tell you this because I've heard it, there are songs that I have loved, popular contemporary Christian songs that I've listened to, and I go, I really love that song. It just warms my heart. And then I realize that's wrong. It's saying something that is completely unscriptural. And now all of a sudden, I can no longer be warmed by that. That is not the case with this old carol. It does not go so far astray. It takes poetic license. I hope none of these things bothered you. So let me close with another story. The story is called The Gift of a Star. In a small village nestled among the hills, there lived a humble craftsman named Thomas. Every year as Christmas approached, Thomas would make beautiful star-shaped ornaments to hang in the village church. The stars were not just decorations. They were symbols of hope and guidance for the villagers. One cold December, a terrible storm struck the village, leaving many homes damaged and the people in despair. Thomas, too, felt the weight of the disaster. And for the first time, he found himself unable to create his cherished stars. His heart was heavy, and he doubted whether his simple ornaments could bring any light to such a dark time. We've experienced some of those times here, have we not? As Christmas Eve drew near, a young boy from the village named Samuel visited Thomas. Samuel had always admired Thomas's work and looked forward to seeing the stars each year. Seeing Thomas's sadness, Samuel asked, "Why don't we make the stars together this year, Mr. Thomas? We can share the light and hope that they bring." Inspired by the boy's innocence and determination, Thomas agreed. Together, they spent the next few days crafting stars, each one more beautiful than the last. As they worked, Thomas shared stories of the shepherds, the wise men, and the star that guided them to the newborn king. On Christmas Eve, the church was filled with the glow of the handmade stars. The villagers, despite their hardships, gathered to celebrate the birth of Christ. As they gazed at the stars, they were reminded of the light that Jesus brought into the world and the hope that shines even in the darkest of times. Samuel's simple act of kindness had reignited Thomas's spirit and brought the village together. It was a reminder that, like the first Noel, each of us can be a bearer of light and hope, guiding others towards the true meaning of Christmas. And now I close with a quote. Here's a beautiful quote from Helen Keller that captures the essence of the Christmas season. "The only real blind person," she said, "at Christmas time is he who has not Christmas in his heart." The only real blind person at Christmas time is he who has not Christmas in his heart. May we all carry the Christmas, the light of Christmas, the light of the Lord, the Savior being born, just as the shepherds and the wise men followed the star to find the true light, with a capital L, of the world. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, I thank you, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for this very simple message. I thank you that you came and bought and paid for us. I thank you that we are able to come before you in prayer and to worship you, and that we even have the desire that we can feel and know the love that you have poured out upon us and continue to do so continually. I pray that you will bless and protect and keep all of your people in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.